Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Matt Ehalt, Yahoo Sports, joins us on 98.7 ESPN. So, Matt, I'm kind of right in the middle. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm so excited, and I'm not the other way where I'm horrified. I'm right in the middle. Is that appropriate? What should the Mets fan be feeling right now?
I actually think that's an appropriate reaction, right? Because, I mean, I think when you look at it, I think we can agree, I think, for the most part, and I get the sentiment just from, you know, interacting with some Mets fans. I think most Mets fans agree Girardi was probably the best choice. He optimized their ability to win right now, gives them someone who's proven for New York. But I also think if you're looking at this from a view of maybe who is the guy that you can build around, maybe who's the guy who you can have here for the long term, I do think Beltran is a very intriguing hire in that regard. So, yeah, I kind of feel like Beltran's one of these guys where you probably say, eh, he wasn't probably the top candidate on the market. But I think he's a more intriguing hire than maybe some of these other candidates that the Mets had.
Yeah, so this is what I said to start the show, and I don't know if you heard it. I said, if you would have offered me Buck Showalter, Joe Maddon, Joe Girardi, I would have loved any of those three guys. Obviously, that was very unrealistic. But of the guys with no managerial experience, you know, Eduardo Perez straight out of the booth of ESPN, or Tim Bogar, you know, from first base into the Mets dugout, I'm fine with Beltran.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot to like with Beltran. I mean, I think the question that's going to come back to this hire ultimately is basically, I think Beltran is a fine hire. I just wonder, is Beltran the right hire for this team at this junction, just with the way that they really need to win in the next year or two? Because, you know, talking to sources and, you know, people around the league, they think the Mets are their window is going to close soon, just with how many win now moves that Brody has made. So the question is basically, does Beltran optimize your window? I mean, if you kind of look at everything Brody's done since he's been here, it's always been win now, win now, win now. And then at manager, they kind of do what I look is more of the long-term manager role, the guy that you can kind of grow with rather than going with the guy who will, you know, get you some wins right away. So that, I think that's the one question, basically, if you look at it, is was Beltran the right decision at this time?
And what's the point? And I think I kind of know it, that they wanted someone that they could probably, you know, have a little more control over. But is that the reason that the Mets went again with a manager with absolutely no experience?
You know, that's the fascinating question here, right, in the sense of the Mickey Callaway era did not go well without the lack of experience. Now, obviously, Beltran comes with the Hall of Fame, you know, credentials and all that. I do think, ultimately, a lot of people thought that the Mets were just not going to ultimately cede the power to a guy like Girardi, a guy who probably is going to want a little bit more of being able to choose his own lineup, not have as much influence behind the scenes from some people above him. And also, I mean, the Mets are not known historically for paying their managers well. I mean, you know, Mickey was one of the lowest paid managers in all of baseball. So they don't exactly pay managers well. So, I mean, I think those are a little bit of factors in here. Well, you know, the Mets, you know, no, I would never say Carlos Beltran, you know, you wouldn't call Carlos Beltran a puppet, but the Mets certainly, you know, when they look at it, the Mets probably were not going to be able to have as much control on Joe Girardi as they might have with some guys who are going to be first-time managers.
Matt Ehalt, Yahoo Sports, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN, as we kind of discuss the Mets and where they're at. So let's talk about off-season for the Mets and moves that can potentially happen. Matt, I mean, the reason that they were not a postseason team, I think most would agree, the bullpen was just so awful. You can't run out there with the same bullpen and just assume and hope it gets better, right? I mean, moves need to be made, I would think, here.
No, you're 100% right. You can't just do that. My only thing there is, and I've seen, you know, I've had this talk with some fans where they're just like, well, got to fix the bullpen. And I'm always like, well, how? I mean, you know, to fix the bullpen is not easy, as you've seen. I mean, it's usually pretty costly. And the one thing with the Mets is they don't have that much room to work with. I mean, unless there is going to be a significant payroll jump approved by ownership, I don't see how the Mets can fill all these holes they have, because they're just not going to have the money needed. They're not going to be able to go out and just, you know, sign one of these top relievers, sign a fifth starter. and do all that without something being done a little bit behind the books. Now, maybe they do. Maybe they up the payroll to about 175. But, I mean, everything you've seen over the last, you know, 5-10 years doesn't show that they're going to do that. But they need to fix this bullpen one way or another, because just, you know, the one thing I've kind of said from the beginning that I said Mets fans have to be afraid of this offseason is you're going to get a lot of, well, we're only 3 games out of the playoffs. If this and that goes right, we're a playoff team. Diaz and Familia are going to rebound, because that's just a terrible strategy, just in my opinion.
But why would you think that? Why would you? I mean, Diaz could not have been worse, and Familia was almost unpitchable in stretches. If your attitude as a Mets fan is they'll get better, why? Just because they will. That's moronic, right, Matt?
Well, I'm not saying the Mets fan. I'm saying more, you know, that the front office could do that, because if they don't have
That's even more moronic, because those are the decision makers.
I would think that they're going to try, but I mean, I would think, like I said, it's just going to be tough, because I don't know how they can fill all their holes with this offseason unless they go super, shopping at the discount section, because, you know, I mean, they need a fifth starter this offseason. I mean, as it stands right now, their fifth starter at the moment is Walker Lockett, and you cannot have him as your and they have no depth beyond Walker Lockett. I mean, the one thing that kind of, I think, got lost a lot in what happened last year was they got 154 starts out of their starting pitchers, which is unheard of. They all stayed healthy and they all performed. I mean, what happens next year if they only get 125? So you're then going to get 32 starts out of Walker Lockett, and then you're going to need, you know, like 29 out of the guys below him who nobody even knows who they are now. I mean, the Mets starting pitching right now, I mean, it's very top heavy, and which is good. I mean, they have some real good guys, but they're like one injury away from the entire foundation of this team crumbling, in my opinion.
All right, so they've said recently that they're not going to move on from Noah Syndergaard. He's not going to be dealt. Do you buy into that he will be on this roster come April?
I do. I don't think that they're going to I don't think they're going to move him, because I mean, ultimately, if you're going to move Noah Syndergaard, it doesn't really line up with what Brody's trying to do, in the sense of Brody is doing everything about win now, win now. I know his mantra is win now and in the future. The Mets have literally done nothing to help themselves for the future when it's come to player moves outside the draft, which the draft is always about the future. But like, the Mets have not traded people for prospects. They have not done anything along those lines. So everything is win now. If you trade Syndergaard, you're just not going to help yourselves win in the next 2 years. So I actually do believe them that, you know, they're going to keep those guys. Because, I mean, ultimately, if you did that, then it's like, why not with Wheeler trade him and such? It really makes a lot of their strategies look questionable.
So you fully believe that Wheeler's, they give him the qualifying offer and he accepts it and he comes back for at least one more year?
Oh, no. I was meaning at like the deadline when they didn't trade him and stuff. I'm saying,
no, I know what you're saying, but you think Wheeler's back again?
No, I think Wheeler's gone. They don't have the money.
You think he's gone?
They don't have the money.
So then why did they not trade him? Because they thought they were all in at the deadline?
My understanding a little bit of it was at the deadline, Brody kind of became fascinated with this idea of controlling the market, that if he had Stroman, Wheeler, he could dictate the market. And then the Mets never obviously dictated the market the way that they wanted to. And I do think in some ways they believe that they were going to be in the race. I mean, you know, we can debate were they in the race or not, right? I mean, like, they finished a few games out of a playoff spot, but at the same time, they were in it until the end, I guess you could say. So, I mean, we're able to debate that. But, you know, when you look back at it, you could say they probably could have gotten a little bit better than a third-round compensation – I have the NFL on my mind for a second. They could have gotten better than the pick they will get for the qualifying offer pick than if they had just traded Wheeler at the deadline. So, I mean, listen, this is one of the questionable decisions the Mets made. They decided to go for it at a time when the odds were against them. And, you know, probably the wise thing to do at that time would have been to just trade Wheeler and get the pick back.
Matt Ehalt, Yahoo Sports, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. All right, let me put you to the test here. The Mets' everyday third baseman to start 2019 will be, or 2020, I guess I should say,
Jeff McNeil.
All right, give me the outfield from left to right that you think it'll be.
Whew, that's a tough one.
This is what we do here, Matt.
No. Just because I think that Conforto in right field, I think it's just going to be what you have now. I think it's going to be Conforto in right field, Nimmo in center, and I think it'll be Davis / Smith, maybe a little platoon kind of thing in left field if Dom doesn't get moved. Because I just ultimately don't think if you are prioritizing how do you fix this team on a limited budget, I think finding an outfielder has to be like third, because I think the offense is fine. I don't think it's an elite offense. I think it's a perfectly fine National League offense. But if you look beyond that, right, like I think we can both agree they need bullpen help, and they need a fifth starter. Maybe the Mets do not add pitching depth. I mean, last year, I remember that was a topic with Brody. We all asked him, we're like, why did you not have pitching depth? And that was one of his lines was like, well, we got Hector Santiago. And it was like, well, yeah, the guy, you know, exactly. So, you know, when you look at it, I think that honestly getting a bat has to be down on the priority list. They got to do the stuff with the pitching because, I mean, you know, the bullpen and Walker Lockett just can't be a fifth starter. He just can't. They probably need two guys, to be honest. They probably need to add a fifth starter and then a depth guy. So I would think they'll just try and roll with, you know, Davis and Smith if he's still here in the outfield.
And Cespedes it's not in the plans at all?
I don't think anybody knows at this point with Cespedes, to be honest. I mean, hey, if he's healthy, he could totally show up to spring training ready to go in his final year. I mean, that is kind of one of the fascinating storylines of this upcoming camp is, you know, this past year, the Mets, I mean, when we start talking about the Mets finances and their books, I mean, one thing that I guess has to be taken into account is this past year, the Mets were able to just get I don't know the exact number, but I think it's in the 70 to 75 range for Cespedes on the insurance. Cespedes is healthy to go. The Mets are not going to get a dime back on that. So the 21 extra half million that they recouped off Cespedes, if Cespedes somehow is ready, they don't get that $21 million. So I think his status is actually fascinating to watch because also if he's healthy, he's going to want to play. And if Cespedes is really the type of guy who's just going to show up and be told that they're playing J.D. Davis and Dom Smith over him every day, I don't know how that's going to go.
All right, Matt, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks for the analysis of the Mets and giving us some insight on how to feel about this Beltran hire, which is pretty much how I felt. It's okay. It's not great. It's certainly not awful. But thanks for a couple minutes, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.